Videos wouldn't be possible without Leah and Neva and Luke, who spends a lot of time putting them together. But they're awesome. I get sort of emotionally overwhelmed just thinking of all the life that the kids have. One of the things that I've learned as I get a little bit older, understanding that age group is hard because I just can't hear them. They talk at a frequency that my ears don't work very well anymore. But man, I can't think of a better place to be on a Tuesday night or a Friday night than with the kids. It's completely awesome. And you know, it's sort of hard to believe that another year's passed. It's graduation time. You know, for some like Hannah, you know, who's moving into teaching at the Christian school, to Jonathan, who's graduated from street school, or each of the kids that you saw up here today, graduating from the grade that they're in now to a new grade. In some cases, that's a new school, and new teachers and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes it just seems like it's yesterday that I graduated I graduated from grade 7 in Ontario, and I started grade 8 in Nelson at Trafalgar High School, which we affectionately called Ragglefart, because Trafalgar spelled backward is Ragglefart. But that was like some 40 years ago. And as I sort of looked out today, and you know, and I see all the kids and those that are on that that prayer list right here, you know, I guess I'm amazed of all the potential that is there. There's just so much potential in the lives of these kids, and I'm so excited. You know, it's just such a privilege to come alongside them and watch them grow individually and watch them grow as a group. And I'm genuinely excited to see what God is going to do through each and every one of them. You know, one thing that I do love about the graduation season is that everybody seems so positive and encouraging. You know, your parents, your friends, your teachers, your principals, they tend to shower you with praise. Great job this year. You're really going to enjoy grade 3 or grade 5 or college. And, you know, and kids, you know, they might feel a little bit overwhelmed with praise, even, you know, praise given by ones that you least expect. And let's hope that it's not because they just want you out of the classroom, right? I know that was true of me. You know, most of my teachers were surprised that I actually moved on to the next grade because I wasn't a very good student. In fact, I didn't graduate from high school. I had to take the equivalency down the road, and so I could actually go on to college. But if I was honest with you as a parent and a youth pastor, because I served as a youth pastor for many, many years, I have been to so many graduation ceremonies over the years that I really don't want to go to any more again. You know, they can be rough, they can be long, they can be boring, and, you know, but the best one that I ever went to was one where the... It was the graduating class of Richmond High. I can't remember the year that it was, but in my youth group, I probably had about 20 students that are all graduating from Richmond High. And so, of course, I went there to be a part of it. And there was over 500 grads that crossed the stage that year. So even if it's like 30 seconds a grad, like, it's a long day, and you have to slog through all the dignitaries that are, you know, sharing their inspiring stories. But the best part of it was is that the grad class, they had done something quietly, and they each of them had a marble. And so when they went across the stage, they shook the hand of the principal, but they gave him the marble. And what's he going to do with the marble? Well, he puts it in his pocket. Pretty soon, his pockets were all bulging with marbles because you got 500 of them, right? It was pretty amazing. And as I said, you know, you get those, you know, those sort of motivational speeches that are filled with some corny kind of motivational quotes that you laugh at and then you fall asleep, you know. You would never get them as much from the valedictorian, but from the dignitaries that were there. Here are some of the things that I've heard from my time at graduation ceremonies. Let's see. Be a Fruit Loop in a world full of Cheerios. Isn't that deep? At the end of grade 12, that's what they give you? Or be a cupcake because cupcakes are muffins that believed in miracles. It's sort of painful. Or here's one. I hope your dreams take you to the corners of your smiles, to the highest of your hopes, to the windows of your opportunities, and to the most special places your heart has ever known. Like, what is that? I don't get it. And some of you, some of the kids, maybe even some of you adults, have received a quote like this. Listen, do just like St. Ignatius of Loyola said, and go forth and set the world on fire because you've already done enough damage here. You know, the fact is that everybody, including the kids, has the potential to be a world changer. There is no doubt of that when I see the potential of all of our kids. But let me ask you some questions. You know, what happens when you don't measure up to what people want or to the dreams that you might have? What happens when you make a mistake or experience a major setback to the plans that you might have right now? What happens when you procrastinate and fail a test or you fail one of your classes or your college classes, or you make bad friendship decisions along the way? What happens when you make a dumb decision with your money or you say something that you shouldn't have said? What happens when your dreams don't turn out exactly the way that you've planned them? How will you get through that? How will you navigate that broken road in your life? Will faith in Jesus still be intact to get you through it? The truth that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced is that in our lives, right from the very beginning, we will all have to face trials and challenges. Like all the kids here will have to experience that, if not already. You know, Jesus, he even told his disciples this. He said, in the world, you will have troubles. You see, the question is not, will you experience failure? Will these kids experience setbacks? Will they experience heartache? They will. But how and when and why and where? Even for those of you that have faith in Jesus, that's really strong right now. You are going to face those same things. You know, think of it like this. You know, any car you could ever drive or ever own is going to need maintenance and repairs at some point in time. But that does not mean that it's a bad car. It's just a reality when you own a car. Cars break down. It's not a question of if it will break down. It's a question of when or what or how it'll break down. And that's why you buy car insurance. That's why you buy warranties for the cars that you drive. And these things, they can help you prepare for what you already know is coming. Even if you bought one of these brand new VW electric buses, this is on my wish list. If I had a wish list, you may not like it. You may think it's ugly, but I think that is the cat's meow. I really love it. But one of the things that I love even more is this next picture. This is, I own, not this car, but the one that I own, I want to build it into a car like that. But the reality is whether you own the VW bus or you own a Volkswagen like this, it's going to need maintenance and repairs somewhere along the way because breakdowns happen no matter how good of a car you have. In the same way, even if your faith is strong right now, you are going to encounter challenge. And I don't mean for this to be sort of a downer. Actually, what I think it is sort of a gut check that sets us up for greater faith because it can cause us to be more prepared for the challenges that we will face and that the kids are going to face. You know, when Neva and I, we first moved from Nelson to Vancouver on our way to college, we were pulling a trailer in our car, and we had made it maybe about 45 minutes outside of Nelson, and we were just sort of driving up the Blueberry Paulson. That's the mountain pass there, and our car broke down. And so we're like 45 minutes into this life-changing move, and the car overheated because the trailer that I was pulling was actually just too big. It was too heavy for my car. And so here I am, stuck on the side of the road. We're trying to break free, gain our independence. We're on this new adventure. And what was I going to do? How was this situation going to get resolved? How was I going to respond to it? You see, those kind of questions are important because the answer to them is reflected in the kind of character that you possess. I think it is true that greatness isn't measured by the absence of failure, but by the character formed through it. And this is something that every person, every kid needs to learn. It isn't about failures and mistakes and trouble, but it's how your character is formed through those times. That's why Jesus' disciple James, he wrote this in his book. He said this. He said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." You know, most students, and even on Friday night when we were here with the juniors, had some great conversations with a bunch of the girls that were going from grade 7. They're graduating from grade 7, and they're going into grade 8, which means for each and every one of them, a new school, a different way of doing classes, new friends. For some of them, traveling on a bus. It's a whole different ballgame for them. And the one thing that was pretty clear in talking to them is that most of them understood that they were going to face challenges as they moved up to the next grade. And for those that are graduating from high school, they know that there will be new challenges when they're on their way to college. And for others, when they start a new job. Now, they may not verbalize those questions, but you can see it in their concern as they talk about things like, you know, how am I going to make new friends? What's my teacher going to look like? Are they going to be nice or is it going to be hard? I'm anticipating, they talk about anticipating new levels of homework. But when it comes to transitions and changes like that, I think we all think like that. And the reason is because we're human. Even our passage in Isaiah chapter 40 says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." And I could go on really for days telling you about some of the dumbest mistakes that I've made and the setbacks that I have faced in, you know, my past 45 years and since my own high school graduation. You know, just to give you a snippet, irrational relationship choices, unwise financial decisions, hurtful words spoken, helpful words unspoken, failed ventures, untried adventures, But that's nothing new. We would all probably experience the same thing, but if I can speak personally here for a moment, when I looked around me in my life and the people that I admired and sought to emulate, the ones that I strive to be like, they also experienced challenges as I watched them go through it, but there was something that was different about their lives, and they were transformed by their challenges, by their difficulties. And why? I figured out it was just one thing. Simply put, it was Jesus. They had learned that failure through Jesus became a seedbed of greatness through the transformation of the character. They didn't let their struggles define them, but rather they leaned into Jesus and they soared. Now, let me read the passage that comes around that verse 30 that I just shared. Starting in verse 28, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." But, now this is the most important word in this entire passage. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And notice that this entire passage, it does not say that we will get away without challenges. We will all grow tired. We will all grow weary. We will all stumble and fall. We will all experience setbacks and failures because these are all part of being human. And just so you know, you're in good company. Did you know that Steven Spielberg, he was rejected twice by the prestigious USC School of Cinematic Arts? Or how about Thomas Edison's teacher? He said what was said of him is that he was too stupid to learn anything. Or even Walt Disney. Walt Disney was fired from one of his first jobs because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. You know, it's a good thing that greatness isn't measured by the absence of failure, but it's by the character formed through it. Otherwise, we would not have many of the major leaders in the Bible. You know, Adam and Eve, they fell in temptation and sin, and yet God used them to start the human race. You know, Jacob, he's swindled and manipulated for his sort of place in the family, and yet God made him the father of the nation of Israel. And then there was Moses, who was full of excuses. He could not speak in front of people, and yet God used him to be the leader of the nation of Israel. And then there was King David, who was too small for battle, who failed in adultery and murder, and yet he beat Goliath and was remembered at the end of his life as a man after God's own heart. And then there was Solomon, who had a weakness for beautiful women, was made to be one of the wisest men ever to live. Or how about Peter, who denied Jesus at the most critical moment in all of history, was restored by Jesus, who became the rock of the church. And Paul, who was filled with murderous hatred for Christians, and yet was chosen by God to be saved and used as one of the foundational leaders of the Christian church. And I hope you see this clearly, that greatness isn't measured by the absence of failure, but by the character formed through it. If you walk alone apart from Jesus, you will stumble through your circumstance. But if you walk with Jesus, you will soar. That's what our passage is saying. And so as you go through this graduation season, as you are entering a new period of your life, a new grade, a new school, a new college, this exciting season of life, please remember this word to you. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Don't let your struggles and mistakes define you. Instead, lean into Jesus and soar. Let me pray. Father, thank you for all these kids. Thank you for their moms and dads and their brothers and sisters. And I thank you that for our church family who, you know, fully supports them. And we're so grateful the way that you are working in our midst. And I pray that you would help all of us, Father, help these kids, help moms and dads, help all of us to lean into Jesus. And by doing so, we will soar. And so thank you, Father, for all that you are doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.